The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah.
Praise God. It's alive.
For the word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Wonderful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name it is, and nothing can stand against.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. You have no rival. You have no equal.
Now and forever, God, you reign.
Hallelujah.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful name it is. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. What a powerful name it is. Thank you, Lord, for the glorious, powerful name of Jesus that we know that we've come to love. The Savior, our good friend, friend of sinners. Thank you, Jesus. Power over the grave. Power over death. Power over all those things, Lord. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No other name. No other name can do this. No other God can do this. Only our great Heavenly Father sent His Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess on earth and under heaven. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. You have no rival.
You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign.
Oh,
yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Yours is the name above.
You have no rival. And you have no rival.
You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign.
You reign. Hallelujah.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the glory.
Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is.
Thank you, Jesus.
The name
oh, yes.
of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
My
Hallelujah.
King.
Praise you, God.
What a powerful name it is.
Hallelujah.
Nothing can stand against.
Thank you, Lord.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name.
Hallelujah.
It is the name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a powerful name.
Praise God. Praise God.
Jesus.
Praise God.
Powerful name it is.
Do you remember when that power came into your life and saved you and set you free? We could try all kinds of things, and we probably did. But it was only the power of that name that took us from darkness into light, that transferred us from that place of sin to the very place of salvation. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing else could do it for us. Nothing else. Whom have I in heaven but Thee, O Lord? I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning that on this Resurrection Sunday, we realize and take it to our hearts afresh today, Lord, that there's power in the name of Jesus. God, the grave was empty. The disciples were bewildered at first, but then they remembered, they recalled that this is what Jesus said he would do. He said, in 3 days, I will rise again. And he did. There's a powerful name, the name of Jesus. So God, as we celebrate this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, what a joy it is to gather together, Lord. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Good Friday. But God, this is the complete gospel package. Jesus, what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we thank you today, Lord. It's all because of you. That's why we have church today. It's all because of you. That's why we celebrate today. It's all because of you, Jesus, that we have anything going on in our life that means something to us. It's all because of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we praise you. And it's in that wonderful name that we pray. And everybody shouted on this Resurrection Sunday, amen. Come on. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. This has got to be one of the best Sundays of the year. I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful time. Amen. Hallelujah. There it is. Hallelujah. Did you know the speed of light has a pause before the light flashes to it gets to our eyes? Did you know that the sound that is made at a distance from us takes time to get to us? I found that when I work on this technology, it takes time to get up on the screen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just going to go with one screen today because at the end of this service, we're going to sing a song that we did on Friday. And everybody seemed to like it on Friday, and it was a powerful song. And so we're going to sing it at the end. And the reason why we put the screen up is so people over there can be seen. So you're going to have to go by the one screen today, okay? So just jog your neck that way. Amen. The kids head off to Sunday school, they can go ahead and do that. And while they're heading off to Sunday school, let's turn our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. It is so awesome to have Andrea back here with us. I know parents probably have first choice in the joy that they're experiencing, but we do in the church, the family of God. We're glad to have you back, Andrea. With all that learned knowledge in there, I can hardly wait to hear your first message to us. 3-point sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and then I'm going to go over to a couple other verses afterward. Verse 1, chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel said, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning," should have had a sunrise service this morning, amen. "Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Then over down into verse 33, I'm in a habit of looking over that way too. Into verse 33, it says this, and this is on the Emmaus Road, and Jesus was talking to the two fellows who didn't really know who Jesus was at that time. It says in verse 33, "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.'" The Lord has risen. The Lord has risen. There you go. I gave you opportunity. Let's try it again. The Lord has risen. Amen. Amen. There you've got it. Praise God. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you did everything obediently from heaven. You perfected everything in our salvation. You showed, you displayed all of heaven's love for us. If anybody misses it, it is so sad because it's on display for the whole wide world. Lord, even on this weekend, many people run to and fro without even thinking of Jesus. But God, here we are today to say, God, thank you for all you've done in our lives. And so we've come to church today to honor you and all the blessings you've given us. God, we want to live this life for you as best we can to the day you take us. So God, thank you this morning for every person here. Bless us as we celebrate the empty grave. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Resurrection means relationship. Amen. We're in relationship with each other. We had a wonderful Good Friday service, and it was great. Sorry you missed it, Jimmy. Oh, you were here. No, sorry. It was yesterday at the men's breakfast you missed. You missed a good breakfast. By the way, Jimmy was telling me that he was working at Walmart on Thursday, and all the Easter eggs and bunnies and all the chocolate are all sold out, right? They're all gone. The shelves are empty. That's probably something else we could have put in there with that clip this morning. But just in case you're running after chocolate on, you know, when it gets on sale, it won't be there. But I tell you, it's good to run to church because he's always here for us. Amen. And thank God that he's always here. It was a great Good Friday service. I really enjoyed it. Pierre, you knocked the ball out of the park. And thank you so much for that great message. And, you know, as we always chat, you know, as we accumulate the years, and Pierre's always said, you know, I just want to retain the knowledge. I want to have clarity of mind and be able to read the scriptures and feel it and all those things. And you haven't lost anything yet, Pierre. You are just going, and I thank the Lord for you. You know, he was standing up here with our two churches here, and just, I'm so proud of our church. Amen. I'm proud of our church and our body of believers. Hallelujah. And thank you for all that participated on Friday. Thank you, Louise, that you headed up all the food over there. That was a big part of the service and how everything came together. Thank you all that brought in the edibles that we had. And Sandra, thank you for the communion on Friday and for the stuff and the sound and all the things that happened on Friday. Everybody just took part. It was a special time. It was a wonderful time. As we thought about Jesus dying on the cross for you and I. To speak to and about the death of Jesus and the cross is certainly a privilege for any pastor and preacher to stand at a pulpit and declare that Jesus is Lord. To talk about the passion of the Christ, his love, his enormous love for you and I, the passion that consumed him in his heart, his life, that drove those nails into his hands and the spear in his side. The immense love that he has and is actually to leave heaven and to come to this world. He didn't come for the healthy people and those who didn't know, have any need for a Savior. He came to those who are sick, and that's me. I needed a Savior. I needed one who was going to love me that much, and he came. And I think about all that he did, leaving heaven to come down to this dirty, rotten world, even though he created it all, but we made it dirty, and of all of our sin and everything else. And as I think of him leaving heaven and coming to us as sinners, I think that sometimes we won't leave our armchairs to go to sinners around us. But Jesus left all those comforts of heaven and glory to come to this world. That's love. That's love. That's God's great and wonderful abounding love for you and I, for God so loved the world. So that was a great time on Friday. I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but I sure enjoyed it. That was a Friday. But it was Friday, but we knew that something else was happening. Sunday was coming. Amen? Praise God. Here we are, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, as we just read. What has God got in store for us on this day? Only God knows, and only you can open your heart wide enough to realize that God has got something special for each and every one of us here today. Amen? If you've closed off your heart, your eyes, your ears, and everything else, then you're going to miss what God has in store for each and every one of us. So I'd like to find out. How about you? Amen? Well, this morning, let's start off. Give me your sad face. Just Just come on. Yeah, I know some people can't do it. You know, Louise, like, there's no way she can get into a sad face. You know. But I think, yeah, just sad face. Think about that for a moment. Just, you know, give it the best shot you can this morning and give a sad face. Jimmy, come on. No, can't do it. It's hard to do when you're a Christian, isn't it? Yeah. To have a sad face. Well, now give me a happy face. Can you imagine the face you're going to have one day when you get into heaven and you see Jesus? Now, you'll be getting rid of all those sad faces, and happy face will be the countenance of your eternity because you'll be with Jesus. Amen? Praise God. So I'm glad that we're here today. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm so glad that we've gathered together. You know, I begin to think of sometimes the reasons why people would ever go to church. I know that Christmas and Easter, sometimes people say, well, we got to get to church on those two events. That's when things happen. But I believe that many people come for all different kinds of reasons. And think about this for a moment. Why did you come to church? Some come to church, and I've heard enough over the years as a pastor that some come because, well, my spouse wanted me to come to church, so I made them happy, and I came to church with them. Some because it's Easter, and that's what you do at Easter. You go to church at Easter, and that's the thing to do. It's like tradition. It's like religion. It's like all those things that we think that we need to do to check off the box in our life. Some because they're meeting up with some people at church or right after church, and so they come to put in their points. Some come because of the good fellowship that we have in church, and we do have good fellowship, amen? Some come to show off new articles of clothing, you know. They do that. It's not so much these days, but I remember many years ago, you walk into church, whoa, it was like a fashion show. Some because of the great music we have in church. Amen. And we have good music. Amen. Don't know about the bass player, but we have good music. You know, Andrea, when I was at Bible college, every Sunday we had to go to church. And we had to fill out a form on Sundays. And they had mailboxes back in those days of which you got your results from your quizzes and tests and everything like that. Do they still have them there? Okay, but you don't use the sheets anymore. Okay, well, when we were going to Bible college, you had to fill out a form and saying, I went to church on Sunday. This was a requirement of being at Bible college. And then you had to put down the name of the church that you went to, and then you put it in your mailbox, and they took it out and made sure. They went through all the forms to make sure everybody was at church on Sunday. They were really tough on us at Bible college. You know, so sometimes we would go to church on Sunday so we could fill out the form and put it in the mailbox and say we were at church. That's the only reason sometimes why students went to church is to fill out that form. And there's all kinds of reasons why people go to church. Sometimes people would even come to church to see a good-looking pastor. Yeah. Where? Somebody said where? Back door's right there, sister. So some people come to church for crazy reasons, all kinds of reasons and all kinds of things. But I believe that many reasons why people go to church are there before us, and maybe we've even been in some of those reasons. But I hope you came today for something that Jesus is going to give each and every one of us, because this is Resurrection Sunday. And I believe that when those ladies went to the grave and they found it empty, something clicked in their hearts. Yeah, now we know. And maybe you'll find a now I know something in your Sunday today. Amen? So I pray that you came because you're deeply in love with Jesus. And no matter what happens in your life, good or bad, up or down, discouragement, encouragement, doesn't matter. You are indoctrinated into the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been inoculated with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come to Jesus because you know it's just the right thing to do. And you love him so very much. So for whatever reason you are here, I pray that Holy Spirit would get a hold of us and deal with us in whatever way he wants to deal with us. in all of our going through things and our hoping that with our family, our work, our everyday life, my prayer is that we come to get a breakthrough in Jesus today on this Resurrection Sunday. How about you? You want a breakthrough? Call it Easter Sunday. You know, coming in through the doors, I was greeting people and hugging people, shaking hands, and they would say, Happy Easter or something else. Whatever you want to call it, Easter Sunday, you know, put on the old gray bonnet with the blue ribbon on it and all those kinds of things that we've heard about Easter over the years. You call it Resurrection Sunday or Grave is Empty Sunday or however you want to call it. It doesn't really matter what you and I call it, but it matters a lot to know that Jesus Christ is the one who rose from the grave. Amen. Pierre said Friday, faith is not a feeling, but faith does go by facts. You know, we have as Christians been given so many, many facts over the years, and I thank God for those facts that have been given to us. So it's over here, yeah. I keep my head's going this way. Should have left it down there, John. But we've got great people. I want to encourage you, if you've not seen the movie The Case for Christ with Lee Strobel, get a copy of that video or borrow it for somebody and get that, because it goes over a lot of the facts of the resurrection. And as well, his book, The Case for Christ, is another great book to get. Last year, we talked about J. Warner Wallace, who is a cold case detective in California. He's since retired, but he hasn't given up. And you can get his books on cold case Christianity. He went back to discover all the things about the resurrection, all those facts. And so those are two great authors that I would like to give to you, that you may want to find their books or their videos and find out things about them. J. Warner Wallace offers a daily email that he will send to you. And some of the things that he finds in dealing with college students, university students, some of the issues that come up, some of the questions that come up. And he sends you the question that he was asked perhaps in a forum of a university, and then he gives you some of the answers that would be probably the best thing for you to come back with. And so I find them very good in dealing with that. So if you were to go on Cold Case Christianity, you would find his email, and it would be good for you if you found that. But read their books. If you have any doubt about the resurrection, any questions at all, go to some of these books that are you know, going into the facts about them. But I want to go to the Bible today, because it's a good place for facts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with the resurrection. I believe that anybody can die on a cross. Even the Son of God can die on a cross, but there's only one who had power over the grave, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, proving to us that the Father raised his Son from death and decay and destruction to life and led the way for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to find that same power in Jesus. Amen. I keep looking over there. Oh, gotta train myself. You all know John 3:16. I love the last portion of that. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice those two words, perish, everlasting. Two words that give us a great understanding about the death that does not hold a believer for eternity. Perish, I like that word. I can remember many years ago when I used to work in a grocery store, I used to bag the groceries. That was back in the days of the paper bags, and you had the cashier and a guy at the end, which I was doing, and I used to put the groceries in the bags. I can remember when I first started that job, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had my pillowcase, and I was pushing my pillow in my pillowcase. You know, it gets so monotonous after a while, but that's what I was doing. But I used to remember this one lady. Her name was Greta, who was always the lady that asked for me for some reason. I don't know why, but she said, make sure the perishables go in the same bag. Ever heard of that term, perishables? That's where the ones, the fruits, vegetables, and all those things, soft and all that, go into the same bag. She would say, put the perishables. And I said, what's a perishable? That's something, if you don't put it in there right, gets bruised. Something, if you leave on the counter too long, starts perishing. It gets bad. Like those bananas. You buy them green, after a while, they start going black because you left them on the counter for too long. Or something else in your house that you bought and you left it there and left it there and left it there, and it starts perishing. It tells us that God says, you will not perish, that you and I, our life, even though it is limited, even though we're here for a moment, then we're gone, even though our life is described like a vapor, we go up like a puff of smoke, believers will not perish. But perish. That whoever believes in him should not perish, we're told. But there's something else here. There's a word everlasting. That means it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And really, the word forever is the key to this whole thing. I like in the NIV version, it says eternal life. In eternal life, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, says relating to eternity, characterized by abiding fellowship with God, continue without intermission. I like that. Perpetual, an eternal flame, seemingly endless eternity. So Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the day that we turn our eyes toward the one leading the way through this maze of life. How many know that life is a maze? We just kind of go through this, and we go from the cradle to the grave, but also assuring us that eternity awaits us because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on. So what are some of the things that you and I get in Jesus? Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, look to him, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, he's the one. We keep our eyes upon him. We're looking at him. But there's something powerful that we receive in our looking at Jesus. You know, there's benefits, if we could say that, something that we could take away in our looking at Jesus and following Jesus to be like him in our life. The blessed part of it all is that just as Jesus rose from the grave, we will too. Just as he rose from the grave, we will too. We will have a resurrection if the rapture does not occur in the next few moments. Wouldn't that be nice if it did? I wouldn't mind that at all. Hallelujah. But one day, we're going to be with Jesus. Doesn't matter whether you go by the grave or the trumpet, we're going to be with him for eternity. So we're looking unto Jesus, and we are today, right, looking at Jesus. We are, aren't we? Looking at Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of the faith that you and I possess. Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you've got a great possession. You've got faith in the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did we receive faith in Jesus, but he is the only one who's going to finish it. The author and the finisher of our faith. He's going to finish it all for you and I. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? So there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing there will be, never heard by mortal ear. It's glorious, I do declare, for God's own Son shall be the living water in that meeting in the air. Hallelujah, there's coming a day. Amen. When this life will be over. This life will be over. But we've run our course. We passed the test of life. We have faith in Jesus, then he's the finisher, the one, the author, and the finisher of our faith. He'll take us by the hand and lead us into that very place. He's the completer, the one whom we trust in, has a promise waiting for us that we've held on to all these years. Amen? He went through all that we read about in his final days, and for Jesus in Hebrews says, it was for the joy that was set before him. He was bruised, he was beaten, he was mocked, went through all those things for you and I. It was a joy set before him. He endured the cross, it says. He despised the shame of it all because he wanted to be our Savior, our Lord and our Master. Aren't you glad today for Jesus? Hallelujah. He did it all for you and I. You and I. He did it for us today. Realize that. Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you trusted in Jesus? I pray that you do so today if you don't have a faith in him. And as you look in Hebrews, it concludes, after all that was done, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, back to the original place where he came from. His mission was complete. He gave us the truth. Why, Pilate asked, what is truth? Jesus gave the truth. He gave us the Father's heart. He displayed the open love and the grace and the mercy and the wonderful ways of God, and he gave us the Father's heart. Jesus said, I am the door. He gave us the door of entry into salvation. He gave us the promise of life. He gave us the hope of eternity. We didn't need to know about that because we look day by day by day. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but he gave us the hope of eternity. Death puts fear into many a person, but resurrection gives hope, gives us something that goes away farther than death. A lot of people just look at death. It's the end. It's the grave. It's finished. It's tout fini. That's all there is to life. But Jesus said, no, it goes a lot farther than that. It goes into eternity, way past death. It helps us understand that there is more to life than this, more than death. Resurrection is the act of rising from the dead to rise up. In the Greek word, that resurrection word is anastasis. It's a standing up again. It's a resurrection from death. It's raised to life again. It's a resurrection. Rise from the dead, says Strong's Concordance. You know, there's all kinds of messianic promises and prophecies which contain clear statements regarding the resurrection of the dead. The difficulty was the disciples knew the scriptures, but when Jesus said he was going to do it, they couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't believe it. And so they looked at Jesus with these weird faces and just didn't know what was going on. It says in John chapter 20, verse 9, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And following the resurrection, Jesus spoke to those two travelers on the Emmaus Road, and they couldn't picture it. They couldn't understand it either. And he asked them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 26, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. Then he said to the apostles in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Hallelujah. Now, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, had a message to give. He even quoted from Psalm 16, verse 10. And then later on, when Paul was in Antioch, he even quoted from Psalm 16, verse 10 as well, that scriptural proof of the resurrection of Jesus. So the resurrection was something that at first they did not understand, but yet later, after Jesus was risen from the grave, after Jesus did just what he said he was going to do, they were completely understanding of what he said he would do, and now there he is. There's always proof in the pudding, isn't there? When you see him, hallelujah. What a thrill and a hope it is. What a great deal it is for us today to celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday, the hope that we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. So what are some of the things in the resurrection that of that power that it will do for us in Jesus? You know, there's all kinds of things that we'll get in Jesus, but I think there's some really neat things that you and I will get in Jesus. Hallelujah. I keep looking over there. I slap my face. One thing that you're going to get because of the resurrection power is your face will change. Amen? Last week I spoke about the face of Jesus when coming to Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, and everybody was cheering, and the crowds were just exuberant because here they thought he was the king coming to take over Jerusalem and kick out Rome or do something that they thought he would do. But as I said last week, Jesus' face was set like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because he was going to die for us. So he was set like a flint. And they were all cheering, and it says as he came into Jerusalem, he wept over the city that was lost, and they didn't know the peace that they could have. And so the face tells a lot about a person, as we said last week, what they feel, what they're going through. I mean, sometimes when you come to church, you can look at somebody's face, and you look at them, and you just know. You just know, wow, they're carrying something. And a lot of times we'll go over and say to them, is everything okay? Are you okay today? And we look at the face because the face tells all. The face gives away things to us. You know, it's like Betty, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but Betty goes through a lot of health issues. And when I wake up in the morning, I sometimes look over and I just look at her face. And I know if she's having a good day or a bad day. And, you know, she comes to church and she puts on that makeup. And I'm perhaps one of the few people that can really tell what's going on in Betty's heart. the face tells all. You can tell when somebody's in pain, going through something. The face of Jesus on Palm Sunday had a different look from what the crowd was feeling. He was weeping. What about on the Emmaus Road? Jesus came beside those two travelers. And it says in Luke chapter 24 that their eyes were restrained. I don't think that God restrained their eyes in any way so they couldn't tell who Jesus was. I just believe that they couldn't believe that Jesus was risen from the grave. So their thinking blocked their eyes. You know, if our thinking doesn't allow Jesus to come in our life, it blocks everything for us. We can't see faith. We can't see any hope. We can't see anything. It says their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him, it says. How come these two guys walking with Jesus did not recognize him? That always astounds me that, you know, I hear Jesus pulls right up alongside him and say, hey, what are you doing, guys? Hey, don't you know what's going on? Haven't you heard the news? And they're trying to relate to him. Yeah. Was it that Jesus changed so much from before the resurrection now? You know, we could say, well, you know, the reason probably why they didn't really look at him because, you know, I mean, this is Jesus. I mean, think about what he went through just a couple of days before. He was beaten. He was whipped. The beard was pulled and plucked out of hair in his face, slapped, hit, abused, crown of thorns on his head, blood pouring down upon him, the beatings, the whippings, the abuse, and all the things that he went through and whatever. I mean, it's not a hard story to believe, so we could probably say, well, that's why they didn't recognize him, like his face was deranged. But many saw him before his arrest and his beatings, his crucifixion. So how can we say that even now they didn't know him? See, I believe that in the resurrection, your face is going to change. Many of us will just be so happy to get out of this life. I'm not going to even look in the rearview mirror. Man, to get out of here, all the turmoil, all the pain, the snow, everything else that happens in this world and all the anxieties. I won't have to look at the face of Betty anymore going through all the pain and everything else. And she's going to be shining. No more doctor's visits and waiting in the emergency for days and days hoping that somebody will call our name. Nothing like that will ever happen again for us. We will be over in glory land. We'll leave here when we receive those new glorified bodies. Did you hear that? New glorified bodies. No more aches and pains. No more wrinkles. We will no longer have the face that we have right now. We're going to have a new face over there in glory land. Hallelujah. You know, this face, you know, that I think that women do it well. They put on all that makeup to cover the face. I don't know why that do. I mean, they just put all, they cake it on. Like, have you ever seen, like, Betty and I sometimes will sit at Starbucks and we'll, wow, she's got it caked on. You know, we'll sit there. Like, it's kind of like the conversation of the morning, you know. You know, hey, they need makeup. You know. Just kidding. But women do well to cover over those faces, but one day it's coming off. Amen? And all the ladies said, I believe in our glorified bodies, our face is going to shine. Our face will light up better than any Christmas you've ever had. We'll no longer be the burden bearer, the heavy weight upon us, those things that pull us down in life. The things that consume us in our mind, our thoughts, and all those things that we go through, all the bad news. But can you imagine the resurrected body that you and I will have one day? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, and we will have new glorified bodies, new bodies, and new faces. You know, Jesus walked along with these two with a new glorified body, and they just... They weren't ready for that new face. They weren't ready for that new glorified body. It's kind of like on that Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus was transformed for that very moment. And Peter and James and John were up there. And Peter looked up and said, Jesus, is it good for us to be here? because you've changed. His face was shining and it was brilliant. Oh, I tell you, glorified bodies, I can hardly wait. Jesus glorified. No longer asked the Father, if it be your will, could you take this cup from me? That was gone. It was gone. No longer blood drops, sweat. No longer the pain of the 33 years of living in the flesh and that body that was subjected to the pain and the whipping at the very end and all those things that he went through. But this was the resurrected Jesus, the glorified Jesus that they were talking to on that Emmaus road. Job completed, job well done. Hallelujah. This was the Jesus that overcame the grave, secured our salvation, put the devil to shame through the cross and the empty grave. No wonder it says in Colossians, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is not the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're told in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, in the flesh right now, we've got a heavy weight upon us, but not in the resurrection. We will no longer be enticed to sin, no longer under the sway of that weight that comes our way, that pulls us down, that tries to tempt us, no longer any sway of the enemy. Our face will change. Our face is going to change, just like Jesus when it was all completed. Can you imagine those words? Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can you imagine the face that will lift, the joy of Jesus coming upon us when God says, enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I believe that our face is going to change. Do you? Yeah, yeah. Amen. Something else. We won't live here anymore. Amen. Duh. We just won't be here. Yeah, Jesus and the glorified body, he stuck around for 40 days. You know, if I was going to be in my glorified body, there's no way I'd stick around here for 40 days. But he stuck around because he realized that all these things were coming to pass now. He spoke truth to them. He gave it to the disciples. He told the apostles. He showed them all these things. But in all the teaching, it wasn't realized until they saw the resurrected Christ. So he, as it says in Acts chapter 1, of all the things he began to do and teach, he put it all together. Here I am. Thomas, touch the holes. Touch my side. Go ahead. Remember what I said? We don't know where you're going, said Thomas and Philip. But he showed them. He was tying all the loose ends together from all the things he taught them. And you and I, after death, we won't be sticking around for another 40 days. At least I won't. You can go ahead and do that if you want. But Jesus said to the thief on the cross, when he recognized, he said, Jesus, you don't deserve to be here. You are not like us. We are criminals, but you don't deserve to be here. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. That's where Jesus took him. Faith in God takes us places. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Faith in God will take us places. When we pass, if we have Jesus in our as our Savior, we are assured, we are promised, we are foretold that we will have a new address. We will not live here anymore. It says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and get you and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank God for the scriptures, the promises that God gives us. I like it. It says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to the church at Laodicea, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Isn't that wonderful? Good news. We cannot see what lies ahead. Cannot see what lies ahead through the eyes of our present state. We must see through the eyes of faith. and through the resurrection power that we get in God. Amen? So, new face, new home. Do you know our name won't be the same anymore? People often ask me, when we get to heaven, will we know each other? Will you recognize, like, yo, is there a Tim Hortons there? Because you always go to Tim Hortons. Or, you know, if you go to Starbucks, will it be a Starbucks? Will we know the people over there? Will we be able to recognize our loved ones? People we knew, that people we walk with in church, people we sang with in church, people in our family, saints that we love who have gone on before us. Will we know who they are? Will we recognize when we get there? Will we know them? Will we recognize them? When we get to heaven, will we begin to even call out their names? Russell, where are you? Anybody know where Russell Bates is? I'm looking for him. We'll be up there calling out my name. I probably won't respond to you, though, because I'm going to get a new name. Amen? Go ahead, call up my name all you want, but I won't answer because we're told we'll have a new name. Maybe that's our real name anyway. Where do we get our name that we have today? Our parents. My dad, my mom, sat down when I was born, said, what should we call this this baby? You know, what? And my dad says, well, I've got a brother that was killed in World War I. Let's call him Russell. So my name is Russell that my dad gave me. And my dad's name was George. My middle name is George. Uncle Russell, George. And, of course, the family name that was passed on and on down the way. So I was named by my parents like you were. They were searching, who should we call this child after, or what name should we give them, and so forth. And so you get those names from our parents. And I'm sure that many of us carry names that were originally, it's something worthy of what our parents wanted us to carry in this world. But the Word tells us that we will receive a new name. In Revelations chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said this to the church. He said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Recall in John chapter 6 when he starts talking about this hidden manna to eat. Remember in John chapter 6 where Jesus said, I'm the bread of life come down out of heaven. I'm the manna. You have to eat from me. You have to digest me. You have to take me in. As bread he was given, broken body, his blood was shed for you and I. As bread he sustains a believer's spiritual life as he continually partakes and we continually eat. We eat that manna every day. We digest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever go away from this food, you're lost. You need to stay eating, eating, eating all the time of Jesus. And believers will have this white stone. It's kind of like a white stone of forgiveness, and it's kind of like if you're in a court case, it's an acquittal stone that they write you off in the sense that all those crimes that you were involved in. Back in those days, stones were used to cast a vote for a verdict. A black stone was given to a person if they were guilty. And a white stone was given to them if they were found to be not guilty. And so as we look at this very scripture, believers' sins are blotted out and they become just as if they had never sinned. We are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will also receive, because of this blotting out of our sin, a new name, which in the Bible means a new nature, and it means a new inheritance, a full inheritance. The Word says to him who overcomes. In other words, to go the distance in this life for Jesus. See, resurrection in eternity means a new name. Are you ready for a new name? So when we get up there, we're going to go, I don't know what his name is. Well, what's his name? When we get over to heaven. Who knows? But I'm sure we're going to know each other when we get to heaven. See, when Jesus was here, they called him Jesus of Nazareth. They called him the son of a carpenter. He was Joseph's son. They looked at all the worldly names of Jesus. Some called him the Christ. Jesus asked one day to disciples, what are people calling me? What name are they applying to me? Well, some say that you're a rabbi. Some say that you're Elijah, come back to life, even John the Baptist. Some say you're a good teacher. Some say you're a good man. But Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The name hidden to many, because the name of salvation to those who believe was given to them. One day Jesus will return with the resurrected saints. I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but I like what John said in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. We know who he is. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with them a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's what we need to call him right now. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A new name, a new home, a new face. Aren't those some wonderful blessings that you and I are going to get one day when we get to heaven? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that day so very much when we see Jesus. Hallelujah. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, as Paul spoke, and listen to what Paul says here in delving into the depth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all these things. And I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what Paul wanted. Amen. Would the worship team come, please? We're going to sing a song in conclusion, and that beautiful song that they did on Friday. But I just want you to recognize that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to have a new name, new address. I'm always amused that people, as they get older, they start deciphering all the things out of the house. They're gearing down, getting rid of things, because they're getting ready for something else. We're getting ready for heaven, amen? One day, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to have a new address. I can hardly wait to get that new face, amen? I can hardly wait to get that new address, and I can hardly wait to have that new place and abode. Hallelujah. That new name in Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Are you ready? Then we're going to play this song for you as they're all getting ready. And as they're playing it, would you just worship Jesus? We've got the words up on the screen for you today. But worship Jesus in this song and enjoy it and be blessed in it. But know that Jesus is the one. Death was arrested is the name of the song.
We can try.
Is this on? Yeah, okay.
Is this on?
Yeah.
It's on?
Hallelujah. Isn't this exciting? We've got our own mini choir. When you first try these things out, you never know how they're going to go, but I'll tell you, I was pretty impressed on Friday. I was talking to Linda before the service, and she said she was a little nervous. And then afterwards, she said, you know, it was okay because there was only one more time to do it. She said it was the first time she ever did anything like that. But I've got some good news and some bad news. You want to hear the good news? The good news is I've already got a song for Easter next year for the bunch of you. I've already got it. So bad news, you got to practice all year.
Alone in my sorrow and day in my sin. Lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained.
Washes over me. You have.
Praise God. Death was arrested. Free. 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 Father, thank you so much for this Resurrection Sunday. We love you so very much. And I pray that even on this Sunday, our love has even gone to a greater depth, that we've fallen deeper in love with you because of all that you've done. Every time we see the word, every time we sing a song, every time we hear a message, Lord God, help us to respond and say, God, that's exactly what I need. I want more of you. So thank you, Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday. Perhaps many are gathering with family, and they will look at our face and say, where have you been? We can say, I've been to church, and we've enjoyed the presence of Jesus. And one day we're going to have a new face, a new home, a new hope, and all those things because of the resurrection of Jesus. So God, as we go from this place, bless us, teach us, show us, live through us, and may we always honor you in your name. And we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.